Hey, guess what? If you're a foodie, especially if you're a fan of tortellini, you won't believe who my next guest is. He owns a 3-Michelin-star restaurant in Italy, runs a non-profit organisation to minimise food waste, and recently joined his wife in opening a tortellini shop that teaches children with special needs to make pasta. He has appeared in several TV shows, including Chef's Table on Netflix.
So I said, why don't we serve something very provocative? I serve tortellini only with 6 tortellini in one line. They were walking into the broth.
That is provocative. Massimo Bottura, welcome to RN Drive.
Hi, Patricia.
You've been described as a mastermind behind modern Italian cuisine. Back when you started, which was actually decades ago, how hard was it to convince people to mix in some modern twists to traditional Italian cooking?
That was very hard, very hard. Italians love nostalgia. It was like very difficult to explain that my cooking was just a way to guarantee a future to tradition. Just to break those tradition and rebuild it in with a contemporary mind. You know, time is changing, and we are no more like at the time of my grandmother when you were boiling a sausage called cotechino, very traditional, and served with big beans and mashed potatoes. But there's a new way of thinking, much more respectful for the ingredients and much more respectful for your body and your health. But right now is not changing a lot, it's like the things is still very suspicious of what I do. When I say that I feed the people that come from all over the world with emotions, like sharing the experience of a kid who fight over the crunchy part of the lasagna with his brothers, they're like, the crunchy part of the, and the rest is for the adults, but the crunchy part, the best part, is for the kids. So I want everyone who comes to the restaurant just to experience to be a kid again,
Look, I still fight for the crunchy part with my kids, and I want it. Tell me about how you developed a passion for food. You were halfway through a law degree, I think, and you decided to buy a restaurant instead. What made you think, hey, food, not law?
Yeah, that's right. But, my appetite, I think, began under the kitchen table where my grandmother was rolling pasta. I was hiding there from my older brothers, and from there I was stealing the raw tortellini. So I always thought that the kitchen was my safety place in life. Growing up, my mom was pushing me to follow my older brothers in all these gastronomic tours, and that was an interest, became a passion. And but in my life, I come from a small town. Cultural legitimation is more important than any 3-star prize, best chef in the world, whatever. It doesn't count anything if you don't have a master. So my father said, you have to be the lawyer in the family. And I started studying law. I started law school, but I dropped because I wasn't happy, and thanks to my mom and to my older brother Paolo, they pushed me to follow one of my passion. And that moment was a small restaurant outside in the country was available, and I jumped in.
In addition to cooking, you're also very passionate about reducing food waste. How important is it for restaurants and for chefs to cook with a social conscience, with some care for the planet?
I grew up in a family in which, like, there was no food waste. we were killing a pig the 8th of December, and my grandmother was always saying that, killing a pig is a spiritual action. And, you know, you have to be respectful for this animal that is giving its life for, you know, to feed the family for the whole year, you know. And you have to use every single bones of the animal. Or like when my mom was like, I was leaving the table and my mom said, no, you have to clean the plate because you decide to have that amount of food. So you have to eat it and finish it because there are people, they don't have that opportunity. When you grow up in a family like that, you know, it's normal that in a restaurant, there is like a bigger family, but the same that, you know, the team is your family. You transfer this kind of attitude to everyone. So in Osteria Francescana, we are playing, we are like pushing all these stagiaires that come from all over the world to, you know, work with the food, the excess, all these cuts that we don't use, and to create staff meal. We are 70 people working in Osteria Francescana for 28 covers, you know, every lunch and every dinner. So we have to feed 140 meals every day. And we have to be respectful. You know, numbers are numbers. We produce food for 12 billion people. We are seven. And almost 1 billion, 860 million people, they don't have anything to eat. We waste 1.3 billion tons of food every year, 33% of the world production. And this is insane because, like, we use water, human capital, we use energy to produce food. And after we produce, we burn it. And we became the first cause for climate change. So this is insane. This is not acceptable. So when the Universal Exposition with the theme Feed the Planet came out, I thought it was an opportunity to show that chefs together are much more than the sum of their recipe. And we create a soup in which we were like pushing to be the main theme in our refettorio, using the word refettorio from the Latin word reficere, to restore, put the thing into your place. And through the beauty of the architecture, designer, artist, we were welcome these people in amazing places and serve them with a four-course meal created by some of the most influential chefs in the world. They were there, devoting their creativity, time, to feed the people in need first, to transfer the knowledge to the volunteers. They are the real heroes of this project, and to communicate to the world amazing recipes with brown bananas, some breadcrumbs, some overripe tomato, or some blue zucchini, you know? That's very easy. That's very simple. But it makes a difference.
And it's also making everyone hungry. At the end of last year, your wife and you opened a restaurant where you teach children with special needs to make tortellini. Tell me about that.
No, it's not a restaurant, it's a shop. This project started 2 years ago. You know, a friend of mine came to me and he said, think about how beautiful it would be if we could teach our children, the children with special need, the young adults with special need. You know, they have a genetic syndrome of, you know. And I said, really? Who's going to teach that kind of, you know, practice? You know, they're very good. I know they're very good on repetitive things, but I'm not sure they can learn. No, don't worry. You know, the grandmothers, there's my grandmother, there's the grandmother of Sylvia, you know, other. So we put together these amazing ladies of the third age and young adults with special needs. And we start making tortellini. We start that we were like 10 of us. And And right now we are more than 35 young adults and six grandmothers. And we make so much tortellini. We are producing more than 300 kilos every month because, you know, we have to, you know, evade the orders of Gucci that needs 200 kilos every month, or like Tetra Pak, more than 100. And it's just something amazing for the kids. Actually, I have to say that my Charlie is complaining because he has to work so much now. And he's like, Papa, please, I can't work every day like this. You know, I have to play volleyball, I have to play soccer. You know, I can't work every day making tortellini. I said, Charlie, go there. You have your own Charlie and the tortellini factory. Just keep working.
Keep working. I like that message. Massimo, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much, Patricia.
And that's renowned Italian chef Massimo Bathura, who will tour Australia in August. And this is RN Drive.